Everyone this morning, time to start. We're in the book of Galatians. We're dealing with a verse that I think is the key to the whole thing. I want to move forward today to the chapter in which we're in, and that's chapter 3. Now, I don't want you looking at your Bible, because I want to ask you something. We're in chapter 3. We've been in chapter 3. Mm-hmm. And chapter 3, the key verse in chapter 3 is the first verse. And it says, anybody want to take a stab at it? Huh? No, that's our key verse in the whole thing. We're in chapter 3 now. It begins by saying, O foolish Galatians. And that's what I want to deal with today, Sandy, since you helped me. Oh, foolish Galatians, who? Now, in our key verse in chapter 1, it was that they had so soon removed themselves from him. And I've tried as best I could through the help of the Holy Spirit to introduce you to him, you know, so that you understand. If you don't have him, you don't have anything. And so what had taken these young Christians, some of them weren't Christians. I'll show you that later. I'll prove it to you. But the young Christians, they all of a sudden they were being drawn away from the gospel. And Paul's quite concerned about it. And that's why he comes over and says, oh, foolish Galatians. He wasn't calling them fools in the sense that they were illiterate. He was calling them foolish in the sense that they were acting foolish. Y'all have said that to your children, haven't you? Oh, quit acting the fool. Now, my mother, she said it once. She said it millions. Quit acting the fool. In other words, I wasn't acting right. I wasn't thinking right. And these Galatian people weren't thinking right. And he says, who hath bewitched you? Who's drawing you away that you should not, obey. And I'm not going through those four definitions of obey again, but you know them, right? Rely,
believe,
confident. Persuaded. I ain't got time. Persuaded. Be persuaded. Fully persuaded. And he says that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was evidently set forth crucified among you. You can't get away from that, he says. You're foolish to do that. And who in the world could draw you away? So I thought it might be good if we found out who is. Did you ever wonder, well, who's that? Well, you surely wondered that, haven't you? Well, who in the world would that be? Well, let's go look at who. John chapter 8. Now, this is a really long chapter, so I got to read really fast. John chapter 8. A really long chapter. And you're very familiar with it. It starts out by the who's, that's who I'm naming them now, the who's. The who's bring this woman. And where do they bring her? Well, where was Jesus? He was in the temple doing what? Teaching. Now, it sort of makes you wonder why the who wasn't there listening to him teach. You know, sort of makes you wonder sometimes about why who ain't here. Y'all don't get that. Never mind. I can't get anything by you. And so, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Makes you wonder how they knew that. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? And this they said, tempting him that they might have accusation against. They didn't care about this woman. This was just a way to get to Jesus. Not get to him in the right way, to get to him in the wrong way. They wanted to find some accusation that would get him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote in the ground, and though he heard them not, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her." Could she be stoned that day? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, she could have been stoned that day. Because, well, he said, "If one's among you without sin, let him cast a stone at her." Well, they couldn't, but he could. You have to understand. You won't understand the story if you don't understand. Jesus could have stoned her to death right there and been well in his rights because he is without sin. So he says, I didn't mean to.
No, you're good.
Yeah. I know I point at people. I don't mean to. It's just my way. Please don't be offended at any time about anything I do or say. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? Well, here's what it tells me. They all left because they knew they were sinful. Why hadn't the woman left? Huh? Well, but she sort of sees a need. They didn't see one. See, if they'd understood that they was in the midst of the one that was sinless, the sinless Son of God, the one that could save them, the one that could forgive their sins, oh, they'd hung around too and said, "Lord, forgive us." But anyway, there she is. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. He said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" Was she still in the midst of one who could condemn? He said, "Let him without sin." But let's see what he says. When Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said, "Oh, neither do I. I'm not here to condemn you, honey. I come to save you. Go and sin no more." Then spake Jesus again unto them, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." What's he telling them? That they were in darkness. That they didn't have life. What, wasn't that what we talked about last week when he says, "I have set before you this day blessing and cursing, life and death, good and evil. Choose life." Well, what's he saying to them? The same thing. I'm the light of the world. If you're in darkness, if you come to me, I'll shed light on you. And I'll bring you into the light. Well, let's see if they thought that was okay. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, "Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record's not true." Well, what were they basing that on? What made something true? No, I mean, according to the law. You have to understand, these are law-abiding people. What made something true according to the law? You had to have, huh? Oh, you had to have two or three witnesses. See, they know that. They're familiar. But what they don't understand is, They're in the midst of the one who wrote that law. He's very familiar with it. And so he says, Jesus answered and said to him, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is, because there's more than me. There's three of us. Where there's two or three, bless God, it's true. Well, let's see if it's true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not, well, I'm not having a witness of myself. I've got two others witnessing who I am. Let's see if he does that. But I and the, well, there's two. I and the Father that sent me, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is, well, if it's me and my Father, that's two. Where two or three are gathered together, there will I be in the midst. Well, he's not talking about whether we got two people in here or not. He's saying, if I'm in you, there's two or three gathered together. I'm in the midst. So here he's saying, there's two of us. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, well, you don't know him. And if you had known him, you should have known my Father. If you should know me, you should have known my Father. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then Jesus again said unto them, I go my way. You shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. Who are we talking about here? The who? That's who's coming down from Jerusalem to the people of Galatia and telling them, listen, Christ is good, but you got to keep the law. Well, they said that because they didn't know Christ. He's done said, you didn't know me, you didn't know the Father. Because if you had known me, you had known the Father. If you had known the Father, you'd know me. I'm trying to introduce you to Paul saying, oh, you foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Well, these people are the ones that's bewitching them. He says, then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and he sent me in. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Let me tell you something. That right there ought to touch a nerve with you. If Jesus says the Father hath not left me alone, and you're in Christ, the Father hath never left you alone. Huh? Do you see why he says, man, I can't believe you've removed yourself from him, because if you get away from him, you're getting away from the Father. And if you get away from the Father, you get away from light. And if you get away from the light, you're back in darkness. You got to be foolish to believe that, he says. You got to be really deceived to believe that. Then he says, and when he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Now, are you saved by continuing in his word? That's a question. Huh? Well, I understand it, but is that what saves you? Or do you do that because you are saved? See, there's a big difference, folks. There's a big difference in doing one to create the one or doing the other to create the first. In other words, if I do what I do, Stacy, if I live how I live, because there's someone inside me living it, that's far different than me trying to live a certain way so that I can prove I have someone inside me. You see the difference? That's why we have people that they start out good, but after a while, they're not there anymore. And we say, well, they're not continuing it. He says, well, but you will continue in me if I'm in you. See, that's the difference. That's the difference between religion and Christ. You're not trying to be someone. You're not trying to live a certain way. You're not trying to do certain things. Remember how chapter 2 ended? You remember how it says, nevertheless I live, but yet not I, for it is Christ that... Do you not see where that takes it away from you? It's Christ now. And I don't want to get legalistic here, but I'm going to try to make a point without being legalistic. I don't come to church on Sunday morning to make me right. I don't read this book to make me right. I don't witness to others to make me right. I do those things because I am right. And because being right means Christ lives in me. It's Christ that every morning causes a stir in me that says, go in there and get the book now. Go in there and get my word and get down and have some time with. It's Christ in me that I meet someone and I want to say, do you know the Lord? Isn't the Lord good? Oh, the Lord's been so good to me. I don't do that because I want people to think good of me. I do that because there's something inside me doing it. Do you not understand when in Galatians later on he's going to talk about the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit? Well, I don't go out and try to love someone to prove that I've got the fruit of the Spirit. I love people because I have the fruit of the Spirit that's inside me that's coming out. But that wasn't true with the Pharisees. It was all about doing with them. That's why they didn't understand what he was saying. So he goes on and they say this, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you... Well, he says that in Galatians. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. What does it mean to be free? Well, let's see. I think he's going to tell them. And they answered, we be Abraham's seed. Now, I can tell you, if you go back to Galatians in chapter 3, it says this. You don't have to go back. I'm going to tell you what it says. He says, I would ask this one thing of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He that... worketh in you. Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Having started with the Spirit, he says. Having started with the Spirit. Well, he answers that question they said, right? You didn't get it by the works of the law. You got it by the hearing of faith. And having started there, are you now made perfect? Well, you didn't let me finish. Are you now made, because then you're going to say, no. So you said yes, and now you should have been saying no. Are you now made perfect by the flesh? So having been saved and given the Holy Spirit, are you made more complete by what you can do?
No, it's what Christ does through me.
That's the point he's trying to make. He says, have you suffered so much in vain, if it yet be in vain? He that ministereth unto you the Spirit. And worketh miracles among you. Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And then he answers, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Why in the world would he all of a sudden bring up Abraham? Why would Abraham be his point there when he's talking about the Father? You know, the Father's the one that ministered to them the Spirit and did miracles among them. The Father did it through Christ, right? But he says, even as Abraham. I'll tell you why he brings that up. Because of these fools that had come down from Jerusalem that was deceiving the people. Because they put great stock in Abraham. I'm going to read it to you. See, you thought I was somewhere else, but I'm not. You know, it's like anybody watch Judge Judy? Not as much anymore, but my wife and I religiously recorded Judge Judy at 4 to 5 every day, and then because we couldn't watch it when we was working, we couldn't watch it, but then at night we'd watch it. I love Judge Judy. Sometimes I hate Judge Judy, but most of the time I love. And she would ask these questions. Say, now I'm just trying to get to know who I'm dealing with. And then she'd ask some more questions. And she'd say this, Stacy. Now I know who I'm dealing with. I'm just trying to get you to see who we're dealing with. These people hated Jesus. I showed you that. They wasn't cared about the woman. They was trying to get Jesus to do something where they could condemn him. That's who we're dealing with. That's who the who is. And so he says, they answered him, we be of Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye be made free? What was it he said about Zacchaeus when Zacchaeus got saved? Anybody remember? I read that to you last week. Anybody remember what he said? He said, now is salvation come to this house, for thou art a son of Abraham. See, these people wanted to say they were right because they were physically descendants of Abraham. Jesus is trying to get them to see, no, it's not physical, it's spiritual. Abraham wasn't right because Abraham was of any heritage or descent or ethnicity. He was right because I made him right. He's going to make that point here in just a second. And let me tell you something. If you're right this morning, bless God, it's because he made you right. That's why he says, come into my courts with and my gates with, I made you who you are. I wish there was more of his children would do that. But I don't think they do it because I think they think now, having started in the spirit, they can make themselves more complete in the flesh. Not going to happen. Then he says, Jesus answered him, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So what's he talking about free there? When he says, whom the Son hath made free, you are free indeed. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about what he said to start with in this chapter. He said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Well, instead of up and walking away, they should have said, Lord, it's us. It's all of us. We're all sinful. They should have been like the blind man that says, have mercy on us, O son of David. But they didn't. Because they thought their freedom came in the fact that they were Jews. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son. Well, so, Tracy, you're the only one who'll talk to me. I hate to keep coming to you, ain't, but so what's that saying? That's saying you don't want to be a servant. The servant don't abide forever. Only the son. That's why it's so important to be in Christ. Because then you're in that position. You're in that place that abides forever. See, that's why you can't try to make yourself something. You either are or you're not. And if you're not, if you're not in Christ, you're not going to abide forever. You're not. And he was trying to get them to see. He's not blistering these people. He's trying to get them to see. Well, let's see if they will. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free. Let me tell you something. When Christ forgives us our sin, we're free. You say, but now wait a minute, Tom. Let's think about that. Isn't that talking about my past sin? Isn't that talking about the past, my sinful past? Isn't that what it's talking about when he says he forgives it? No. Because Christ doesn't dwell in the past. Christ is the I am. Well, the I am is a present tense verbiage. When he forgave you, honey, he wasn't looking back and he wasn't looking forward. He's just forgiven you. You don't think he knew about the sin that you're going to commit in the flesh? Now, I'm going to show you something. You're going to have to listen real careful or you're going to say, Tom, you ain't got lick sense. I want you to look at 1 John. Now, everyone knows about 1 John. 1 John. Now, I call 1 John a test. If you ever wonder about your salvation, go to 1 John, take the test, bless God. Take it with sincerity, and I guarantee you, you'll either come out passing or failing. There's no way around it. So, in the very first chapter of 1 John, what does he deal with? Well, what's the first thing he dealt with in John 8 with the Pharisees and the scribes? It's a three-letter word. Sin. It's what everybody has to deal with. Because if your sin is unforgiven, you can't go to heaven because there's nothing abominable that shall enter there. So it has to be dealt with, right? So here's what he says. I'm going to read this real fast. Okay, it's already 10:30. I don't know why I cook so much, but I cook a lot. And then trying to get it all on the table is difficult at times. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon in our hands, have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto... Who's he talking about there? Christ. Christ. He says, I'm bringing Christ to you. So he says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you that we also may have that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship was with the and with his. So what's he saying to them? Well, if you're going to have fellowship with me, you're going to have it the same way I got it. From the Father. Through the Son. That's what he's talking about. So he says, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is. If we say, because see, you have to understand, the Jews said a lot of things. But you remember when he was talking about the commandments, he said, ye have heard it said, but I say. In other words, you think that to commit adultery, you have to lie with a person. But I say if you look on another person with lust, you've committed adultery. See how more serious it is? So he says, so this is the message we've heard of in declaring to you that God is light and in him is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, well, we're just liars. See, you can't say that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and walk in darkness. It's an impossibility. Because he says you're a liar. Now, if God says you're a liar, guess what? Bless God, you're a liar. You can't say you've got him and walk opposite of him. You can't say you're in light, but your life is in darkness. It's not possible. Well, now, I used to walk in light, but I'm walking in darkness now. But I know the Lord. Well, I'm going to tell you, he says you're a liar. That's how serious this is, folks. See, that's why I don't go much for backsliding. I understand what backsliding is. Don't get me wrong. Don't go out and say I said that. I understand what backsliding is. But backsliding ain't going from light to darkness, let me tell you. If you've come out of darkness into light, bless God, you're in light. And you ain't going to walk in darkness. That's what it says. I'm just telling you what it says. If we say that we have no sin, well, isn't that what the Pharisees were saying? He said, hey, in John 8, wasn't that the whole point? He that saith he that hath no sin, let him cast the first stone. Well, I didn't see a stone get thrown. So he says, but they were saying that they were right because they were Abraham's physical seed. But he says, oh, if you say you have no sin, what? If you have no sin, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. And what's he mean the truth's not in us? Christ ain't in you. Christ ain't in you. In other words, if someone comes in here and they've never been saved, if they're not willing to admit they are in sin, they can't be saved. See? Because they're denying. So he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is. Now, look over, if you will, at chapter 3. I'm going to give you a dichotomy that is took me forever for the Lord to show me. But you know, if you stay around long enough and you beg long enough, guess what? He'll show you. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. And now we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is. What's that say? What's that say? Somebody help me. I'm lost. I mean, you know, I forgot where I'm at. Somebody help me out. No, that verse I just read. He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. What's that saying? Huh? Huh? Well, but what does that do? What action does that cause? Oh, constant. He says, listen, if you know you're a son of God, and if you know one day, bless God, you're going to be just like him, for you'll see him as he is. Well, if you've got that hope in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, by the way. If you have that hope in you, you'll do what? Oh, you're constantly purifying yourself. But now, wait a minute. There's a problem there, isn't there? I thought we were already pure. I thought in Christ we were already pure. Well, let me ask you. What does people see when you go around every day? So if you're acting silly and stupid in the flesh, what's people going to see? You're acting silly and stupid and in the flesh. But if he's in you, and if that hope's in you, oh, you ain't going to have that. Because he says if you've got that in you, you're going to purify yourself, even as he is pure. You're going to be washing daily. You're going to be taking more showers in the scripture than you can count. Because there's something, not because you. He says he that hath this hope in him. The whole thing is based on in you. See, the scribes and the Pharisees, the who of Galatians, didn't have him in him. He says, you don't know the Father, and you don't know me. You don't know me, therefore you don't know the Father. There's nothing in you. Therefore, you deny that you have sin. You remember the Pharisee and the publican? They go to the temple. You know what happened? One says, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like this and over here. I give tithes. Lord, I do this, and Lord, I do that. And he says, all the publican could do is, oh, God, have mercy. And he says, I say that this man went away right, justified. Why? Because he was willing to admit what God said all the time about him. If you're not, God can't help you. God can't help anyone. Now, so here he goes on. He says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin, transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our... Well, doesn't that seem strange? If you're committing sin, but he's taking away sin, how's that happening? He says, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is... Whosoever abideth in him, whosoever sinneth, hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. Foolish Galatians, who's deceived you? He that doeth righteousness is righteous. You don't do righteousness because you try to be righteous. You do right because you're right. And you're not right because you do something. You're right because Christ indwells you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He's made you and he's made me what he is. Well, that gets away from all religion, folks. Salvation is about relationship. If you're not related to the Father, you're not related to the Son. And if you're not related to the Son, he doesn't indwell you. And if he doesn't indwell you, you're lost. You can do all the good things you want to do. You can come to church five times a week. You're lost. That's what it says. So let's see if it goes a little farther than that. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever. Who's that leave out? Whosoever is born of God. I guess that's the difference, isn't it? If you're born of God, you do not what? Commit sin. Well, don't you see a problem there? Do you see a problem? Huh? Okay, now, see, when somebody will help me out, it always helps me, because then I forget where I remember where I'm at. You see, part of realizing what God has done for you through Jesus Christ, Sandy, is realizing that you are no longer the flesh. Remember I read that to you in Romans? Huh? He says, but we're not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. And so when you sin in the flesh, and the flesh is going to sin, hey, that's all it knows. That's why it says don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, walk in the Spirit. The flesh don't know anything but sin. But did you know that sin in the flesh never gets to you? Isn't that, well, that ought to get a shout from somebody. It never gets to you. To you. You're not the flesh. You're a new creature in Christ. It's not a license to sin. It's not a liberty to sin. It's not a liberty to act in the flesh, because even though you sin in the flesh, it never lays a hand on you. It can't, because you're born of God. You're in Christ. There's no sin in Christ. That's why when he comes, he says he's coming for a church that is what? Blameless and sinless. Well, you're in him. You can't be blamed. You have no sin. Glory! That's why he says, he that is born of God. And I look, I've read the commentators and the potatoes and everything else. And they say, well, it's talking about practice. You don't practice sin. No, it's not talking about practice. If you look at the word in the Greek, it means not one single act. That's something to give him thanks for. Maybe you don't struggle as much with the flesh as I do. Maybe over the years you haven't had that struggle that says, Tommy, how in the world can you do this when you're a child of God? And why do you ask forgiveness if it's already forgiven? I ask forgiveness because I have more of a sin consciousness now than before Christ moved in. And I know that sin is an affront to my Heavenly Father. I know that sin grieves the Holy Spirit. I know that sin dishonors my Lord Jesus Christ. And I cry out and say, oh God, forgive me. Not realizing, oh, this is so good. Just play with me, brother. When I'd sin, before I could even think about forgiveness, you know what he'd do? Oh, glory, let me get right here. I'm going to get right here. He's sitting at the right, I'm not at the right hand, pretend I am. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And Tom gets in the flesh. And the Bible says he does this. Father, forgive him. He's mine. Yeah. I know he don't act like it, but he's mine. Amen. You know what the Bible says? It says for his sake, the Father forgives me. That's why you can't see him, bless God. Because he says he is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God through him, seeing that he, somebody finish it, bless God, you'll get what I'm talking about, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for you. Oh, honey, he's just sitting there. Oh, praise God, he's just sitting there waiting on you to foul up in the flesh, and he'll turn to the Father and say, oh, they're mine, Lord. I just forgive them. And he says, oh, for your sake, I'll forgive them. You, sin will never lay a glove on you. Never! That's something to shout about. That ain't something to be liberty about. That's not something to have a license about. That's something, bless God, to praise God about. Now back to John. Now, real quick, and I got to finish. I got to hurry. I just got a couple minutes. don't even remember where it's at. I was over in chapter 8. But anyway, he says, they say, well, what do you mean free? Well, we're born of Abraham. We don't know what in bondage is. He talks about their sin being their bondage, but they didn't pick up on that either. In verse 39, they said, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Well, last time I checked, Abraham couldn't save anybody. You better have the heavenly father. But anyway, he said, Abraham is our father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even. Oh, they thought God was their father because Abraham was their ancestral father. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would what? Did it sound like they loved him?
No.
You would love me and do what? Somebody finish that for me.
You would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me.
Well, here's what he's saying. Oh, no, you don't know God. You just say you know God. There's a lot of people say they know God, folks. There's a lot of people. You know, someone said the greatest harvest is in the church itself. A lot of people say they know God. But Jesus says, no. No, if you knew God, you'd love me. And you'd keep my word. You don't, therefore you won't. So he goes on to say this. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your... Well, now who's right? Them or God? You would have thought that they would have fell on their knees. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. Religion can put a grip on you. Religion can cause you to believe something that's not true. Even Paul said, I thought I was doing the work of God. But I wasn't. I'll pick up here next week. I'm done.